Thank you. Well, thank you for the opportunity to be with you this weekend. I was glad that Pastor Michael responded to one of our prayer letters a little while ago and asked if we would be coming this direction. And I said, maybe. and he invited me to come, and it's worked out that I can come and visit you and six other churches on this quick trip out west. So I'm grateful for that opportunity to be with you. A lot has happened in our lives since we were with you last time. None of our children were school age yet last time we were here, and now three of them are in school. And our son, Rowan, who's our oldest son, had turned five during that trip, and we kind of rushed back east for school to start that fall. And then partway through the school year, he became sick with nephrotic syndrome, which is a kind of a kidney issue that's largely juvenile. Most kids grow out of it. And so that was a bit of an added trial during deputation time, but the Lord took care of that. And it took us about 3 years of traveling to gain the team we needed to help us go to the field. And I'll explain more about all that in a minute, but the Lord has been good, and he has taken us places, and we have met people, been in all kinds of situations that we just never anticipated, and we are thankful for those, and it just causes us to realize that we can make our plans, but it is ultimately the Lord's that are carried out. So we're thankful for that. Well, to begin tonight, I want to turn your attention to the scriptures, to Mark chapter 12, for a few minutes before we look into kind of what we've been doing the past couple of years and what we anticipate the Lord taking us to in Malta. This morning in Sunday school, if you were here, we talked about the Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, and we talked about the Christ of the Commission, who it is that has called us to go, the one who has all authority. And we looked at the content of it and the three directions it causes us to look. But I want to look for a minute tonight at our motivation. What causes us, what drives us to be able to go and obey this command? And as we come to Mark chapter 12, we come to verse 28, and really we step into the middle of an argument. Have you ever done that before? Where you kind of open the door and walk into a room, and it's kind of that awkwardness because you've just stepped into the middle of a fight. And that's kind of what we're doing as we come into Mark chapter 12, verse 28 tonight, because Jesus has been in discussion with these crowds of people that are trying to discredit him and his ministry, kind of like an election campaign where they're trying to force him to say something so they can put him in a box and then beat it up. And Jesus has just been answering in great wisdom and not allowing them to be able to put him in that box. Well, one of the scribes that was observing all of this, perhaps he was partaking in it, sees the wisdom of Jesus, and this is what he says to him in Mark 12, 28. One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, "What commandment is the foremost of all?" Jesus answered, "The foremost is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And so I think if we stop for a minute and think, well, what should our motivation be as we want to obey the Great Commission? And I think it brings us back to this, because this, as we look at all of the Bible says, it kind of, if we reduce it all to what Jesus calls here the greatest things, the most important things, we come down to this: loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. In fact, in a parallel passage, Jesus said that on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You know, everything that there is, and at this time specifically Old Testament, but what we see in the New as well could hang on one of these two hooks, on loving God with our heart, all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, or loving our neighbor as ourself. And so really, the Bible then, in all that it tells us, is various applications of this command in all kinds of different situations. And the Great Commission is one of the applications, it's one of the ways in which we show our love for God and our love for people. And to show you how that worked out in the life of the Apostle Paul, I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for just a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we'll jump down to verse number 8. Verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul here is describing some of his ministry. And he says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 8, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." And you can look at that, and you can look at the positive aspects of it, and you can see that, well, they weren't crushed, they weren't despairing, they weren't forsaken, and they weren't destroyed. But you also look at the reality of it and realize that they were afflicted, they were perplexed, they were persecuted, and they were struck down. So it wasn't easy. They weren't defeated, but it was a battle each step of the way. And if we're familiar with the book of Acts, we know some of the stories that he's thinking about as he writes this. And what he lists in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 about the robbers. And we were in Turkey. I wasn't able to visit a lot of the country, but I had some friends who were down in Antalya, and that was where Paul came ashore on the first missionary journey after they left Cyprus. And it's a beautiful beach, and then it almost goes straight up in the mountains. And so on that first journey, they came ashore, and they had to go over those mountains to get inland to Lystra, Derbe, Antioch, and Pisidia. And as you go through there, you know what it's like here with the mountains. There's only certain places you can get through, and the thieves knew that as well. And so we don't know for sure where it was he met the robbers, but somewhere in there he did. And we know the shipwrecks. We know that in Lystra and Derbe, he went there and he was stoned, and then he got up and he walked right back into the city. And so Paul endured these things. You come to verse number 9, and he says, "Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you." Now, we drop down to verse number 15, and here it is where we're going to see what Paul's motivation was for all of this. You know, why did he endure this? Some of what happened to him was, a surprise. He didn't see it coming. Think of in Philippi, he didn't anticipate perhaps being thrown in jail. Other times, he knew that things were going to happen to him. And like I just mentioned, that time where he was stoned, and then he walked back into the city of the people that just stoned him. Later on in his ministry, the Holy Spirit was telling him in every city that chains awaited him when he got to Jerusalem, and still he kept marching toward Jerusalem. What was it that caused him to keep on going in those circumstances? Well, it tells us in verse 15, "For all things are for your sakes." And so we see one of Paul's motivations was, going back to Mark chapter 12, his loving his neighbor as himself. "For all things are for your sakes." And he could write to these people, and he could tell them, whether it was the Corinthians he's writing to here or others, that as he was enduring these things, as he was beaten, as he waited in prison, as he swam, as he hung onto a board, all of these things that he endured, he was looking in his eyes at a people that he was going to. A lot of them he had never met. He had never been to this city before, perhaps on his first time there. Maybe he had some contact. Maybe he just knew that it was a strategic place to advance the gospel. But he knew that there was people there that he loved, and he would go through anything to get to them with the gospel. He loved his neighbor as himself. "For all things are for your sakes." Now, look what he says as he goes on. so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. And here we see a second motivation, and that is loving the Lord his God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because he knew how God was. I mean, Paul had been studying who God was from his youth, and that had kind of gone in the living color when he was introduced to Christ on the road to Damascus, and he began to understand the love of God, and he worshiped God. And he had this strong desire that everybody else would worship God as well. He deserved to be worshipped by everybody, everywhere. And we could go to some other scriptures tonight that just show that desire in the minds and hearts of different ones of the biblical writers. I think of Psalm 67 and other places where a person who has a deep relationship with God desires that everybody else would have that as well. And that drove the Apostle Paul to go. And it was kind of like John Wesley, who wrote, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise." And Paul is kind of writing that here. And he knew he wouldn't have 1,000 other tongues of his own, but if he could get 1,000 other people to sing his great Redeemer's praise, you know, that would be good enough for him. And that was his goal. And so as we go back to think of our motivation of fulfilling the Great Commission, of fulfilling the other commands of Christ in our lives, what is it that drives us to do them? It is those two streams of love, our love for God and our love for other people. And if we can keep those two things foremost in our mind, I think it will help us even when it becomes difficult to love people and so on. So we need to keep those in our minds. And we're trying to do that as we serve the Lord, as we find ourselves in places we didn't anticipate that we would be in. Sometimes we get discouraged and just don't get the traction that you want to get. We remember why it is that we're doing this, because our love for the Lord and our love for people.